Yes, on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This just in. Here's a bulletin. This just in. The Senate finally confirmed President Biden's two picks for the Postal Service Board of Governors. That means they can finally fire Trump's Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, and roll back his most dangerous cuts. News we've been waiting for a long time. Everyone complaining that Biden still hasn't fired Louis DeJoy. Well, Biden can't fire Louis DeJoy, but his two picks for the Postal Service Board of Governors can. And they were waiting for the Senate to confirm them. He picked them, man, a couple months ago. But of course, the Senate, you know, the Republicans are trying to slow things down as much as possible. So now we can get rid of Louis DeJoy. We can undeploy DeJoy. No, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Right away, I apologize for that. We have on the line Caitlin Cahill, the candidate for the DFL candidate running for the Minnesota State House in District 37A, just to the north of me. Hey, Caitlin, how are you doing?
Hey, Todd, I'm doing well. How about you?
Good, good. I'm so glad you called. I wanted to talk to you about this Johnny Depp thing that's going on in court, and I know you know a lot about that. Something with his wife or something. So that's what I wanted to talk to you about. No, I'm just kidding.
We're not going to talk important stuff, huh?
Yeah, yeah. No, I wanted to talk to you. Well, we're calling you the DFLer of the day. You are running for the state house in 37A. You ran for the same seat that I ran for 10 years ago. You ran for it in 2020. And now after the lines have been drawn, you and I are split into two different districts. But I am still supporting you in every way I can. My daughter's door knocking with you this coming Saturday, and probably will a lot this summer. And I know you're trying to talk me into it. I've taken a vow that I'm not going to door knock again because I got it OD'd on it. But you would be the person to be able to talk me into it. So I predict you're gonna succeed at that at some point during the summer. But tell us how the campaign's going. Are you feeling like you're staying on track? I know you were door knocking this afternoon, is why you can't be here live and in person. So give us an update.
Well, you know, I think with the new lines, it's going really well. We got a whole new half of the district, so I'm just getting at the doors and trying to meet this new corner of Maple Grove right now.
Great. Yes. The district that you had before, you lost some good ground. You lost Wayzata that you won in 2020, I believe.
Yep.
And you lost Long Lake, which I believe you won in 2020. And so those are some really good spots that you lost. And then you were also making good ground in other parts on the south side. And you retained the really red parts. That's really hard to door knock because the houses are 5 miles apart from each other. But mm-hmm. you gained some really good door knocking areas, and you kept some of the new neighborhoods, right?
Yeah, so we kept all the Medina and Corcoran, so kind of that new suburban areas there, but definitely a lot of the red areas. I think, you know, they took all my nice blue and gave them to 45A, so you guys are lucky down there, I think.
Yeah, I know. We're all sad, too, because we love you so much. But we do have a great candidate down in 45, Lauren Bresnahan. But why is it that those neighborhoods are good for you in the Corcoran and the ones you just mentioned?
Well, I think partly just strategy-wise, you know, they're easy to door knock. We know that those face-to-face conversations are what we need to flip kind of these purple-red districts. And, mm-hmm. you know, being able to meet a lot of people in a short period of time is just helpful, no matter who's campaigning.
Right. I noticed that some of those new neighborhoods, and, you know, this was 10 years ago, and there's so many more of them that have been being built in the last 10 years because that's an area where farmers sell off their land to developers, and the developers build a whole new neighborhood. And my experience door knocking back 10 years ago was that a lot of those are new families who want their kids to go to the good schools like Wayzata School or you know, the good schools in that area. Have mm-hmm. you been finding that as well?
Oh, absolutely. education comes up as the number one concern of a lot of families that I'm talking to. So it's definitely a reason they're moving out here.
What do they tell you about then the choice between a Republican or a Democrat when education is their top of the list issue?
Well, fortunately, it's not a partisan issue. They really see it as what's good for the community, regardless of what party they are. And I agree. We all want our kids to go to good schools, and good public schools are one of our best ways to provide everyone with a quality education. And families agree on the entire spectrum.
Yeah, I don't want to make this about me, but I remember talking to a woman who homeschooled her children, and she said she disagreed with the Democratic Party on almost everything because she was super conservative, but she said she liked, both that I was a small business owner, but she said, I want the best public schools possible, and Republicans are against public schools, so I'm going to vote for you even though I'm completely conservative and disagree with you on a lot of things. That's what I found. Do you have the experience that somebody who may be kind of leaning red will pick you because of education?
Not only education, I think, a lot of different issues like public safety, for example. I, as a city council member, a lot of people are bringing up public safety as a concern. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of this, narrative we had in 2020 that, all the Democrats are going to, defund the police. But by being, talking with these people, they come to realize that, I'm a city council member. I have had to fund a police department for 6 years as a city council member. And I recognize that, police are an important part of law enforcement. And so my take is fund and reform. And so, people on both sides of the spectrum respect that a lot because, they see the need for police, but also the reform. So I think all issues, education, public safety, they're not partisan as we think they are.
Right. Yeah. And I think you're so good at messaging in those kind of ways. I remember you saying something. You and I were talking about broadband a few weeks ago, and you mentioned some things that you know more than most people because of your experience being on the city council in Maple Plain. You talked about how funding is going sometimes not to the right places. Can you elaborate on that? I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I actually learned this from our deed department at the state level, and that one of the biggest barriers to funding right now is that whether or not an area is covered is self-reported by the internet service providers themselves. So, of course, the big internet providers have a, self-interest in saying, oh, yes, we provide high-speed broadband to all these areas, and that prevents funding for additional competition. So one thing that we can do, well, legislation can change it, but in the meantime, people who run speed tests through the deed website can actually show that, the internet service providers aren't providing, the minimum level of broadband, and they can qualify their city for that funding.
Yeah, so we do need to get you in the House so that you can start writing some bills, because other people don't know.
well, thank you.
I know I had you on here last fall or something, and you and I also talked about your new ideas on how to reach voters because people don't answer their phones anymore. People don't have landlines. So talk about that.
I think, obviously this year is different than 2020. We're able to get back at the doors, but I think, technologically wise, calling in 2020 was kind of demoralizing because you'd call for an hour and maybe two people would pick up and you were lucky if one of them wanted to talk to you. Whereas if we did a text bank, I could send out 300 texts in about 5 minutes and I was getting, probably a 30-40% response rate from that. So we got lots more data just with a quick text to people.
Yeah, and that sounds like such a simple thing, but I think not enough people realize how difficult it is right now, and both the parties as well, getting trained in by the DFL, they're still telling you to make phone calls, and, this isn't the 1970s anymore, I remember your ideas sounded so new to me as well, and I kind of felt like I was more aware, but you're just, you know, being younger and more innovative. Tell us about your background. What do you do for a living?
Well, right now I run my own business providing tech support to other small businesses. I kind of got a start in that industry because I worked for our public schools for about a decade doing tech support, instructional technology learning. So I started in the schools and decided to move out to do it myself.
Yes. And when did you first get on city council in Maple Plain?
I was appointed in 2017 and then reelected in 2018.
Right. And you also talked about some of the interesting interactions you have with people on the city council where you and they disagree on most things. But when you're working with them on the city council, it can be different. Can you enlighten us more on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the great thing about being city council is that it's nonpartisan. But obviously, you know, as you work with people, you kind of get to know where they are in the political spectrum. And I'm definitely on one end, and quite a few of my fellow colleagues are on the other. But when it comes down to it, because we're a small body, you know, there's only five of us, it's a weak mayor system, we try to come to a consensus as much as possible. And so we have to, you know, sometimes we have to compromise. It's not a bad word if, you know, we're making progress. But really it comes down to focusing on, you know, our shared values. You know, what is the ultimate goal? And ultimately, we all want to help our fellow residents and our neighbors. And so when we focus on that, it's easier for us to listen to each other and come to a consensus on issues.
Yeah. And of course, it may be easier because you're not dealing with things like women's health care rights and gun safety laws and things like that. Because the common goal should be the same, both in St. Paul, between Republicans and Democrats who are in the legislature, it should be the same as what you just mentioned it is in the city council. You're trying to make life easier and better for your constituents. So it's more, you know, it can be more difficult to find places to compromise. I know sometimes DFLers get criticized for going along with Republicans or even using the term reach across the aisle anymore. Do you see ways that you still could if you got into the legislature? When you get into the legislature?
Oh, definitely, for sure. You know, for me, it's not about, when I say compromise, it's compromise on, like, implementation. Mm-hmm. You know, you should never compromise your values, for sure. But I think, and it's not, doesn't mean you're going to work necessarily with the other party on every issue. You know, I like to look at the fact, for example, there are some Republicans in the legislature who I'm pretty sure we might not work on anything but broadband. But we can both agree that our rural communities need broadband. And so if that's the one bill we can come together and work together on, you know, I'll work with them on that one bill. It doesn't mean we're going to work together on every bill because we may not agree on others. But I think there's always an issue that you can agree on with the other side.
Tell us more about your experience door knocking. So many people are intimidated by door knocking. When it's first mentioned to them, and it happened to me when I ran, I was scared to death to go door knocking. I thought, you know, knock on somebody's door, tell them that I'm running for office. Everyone hates politicians. What's your philosophy and feelings about door knocking? How could you talk somebody into going door knocking for you this summer?
Well, I'll start off with that I am probably the most introverted person ever. And so I used to be the person who would, someone knocked on my door and I'd hide, right? I didn't want to talk to the politician on my own doorstep. So when I first ran for city council, like, I knew I had to go door knocking because that is how you won city council races, and I had four other opponents to contend with. But the introvert in me just really did not love the idea of knocking on a stranger's door, right? I just always felt like I was bothering them.
Yep.
But as soon as I knock on people's doors, there are so many people who are invested in our communities that when you tell them who you are and why you're there, a lot of people want to have these conversations about they think it's great you're there and they want to know how you're going to help them. So you get over the bothering them because they are wanting to engage with you and learn more. So it's a positive experience usually.
Yeah. Do they talk about then, oh, your opponent was here knocking on my door ever in your district?
You know, I have yet to hear that. In fact, more often, I know it's a little different this year because of redistricting, but I used to hear a lot that, oh, well, who is our current rep? Or, you know, I reached out to him once, but I never heard back. I don't think there's a lot of competition on the doors for me.
Right, yeah. And you do have a different opponent. But, you know, in that the area that you live, Republicans have never door knocked because they just always win. We've never had a Democrat. Kelly Morrison's the first Democrat to win in the area in the history of Minnesota. Actually, in the history of the universe, I looked it up. Not just the history of Minnesota. The history of the universe. If you can hold on for a couple of minutes, we do need to stick in one more break, and then we have a couple minutes on the other side. Would you like to stick around a little longer?
Sure, I can stick around.
Okay. Let's take a break, Patrick, and we'll be right back talking more with Caitlin Cahill running for the State House in District 37A. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm Todd Mickelson, sitting in for Matt McNeil today, and we have on the line the DFL candidate for the Minnesota State House in District 37A, Caitlin Cahill. Caitlin, what are some of the towns in your district?
Maple Plain, Independence, all the way up through Corcoran, a little bit of Maple Grove, Medina, and Loretto.
Yes, and the Maple Grove part is more blue than you're used to, and more dense, so you can door knock easier. So you're gonna. I really think you're gonna do quite well. What would you like to talk about, including? For instance, is your opponent? Is you have just one opponent? Are they going to go to a primary? What do you know about the other side?
So due to redistricting, there's currently two GOP incumbents. Kristen Robbins and Jerry Hertas, who are in my district. Kristen won the GOP endorsement, so we'll see these next 2 weeks whether Hertas decides to primary her, which would be great for me, but we'll see.
Yeah, and Hertas just, I don't know, he's probably in Arizona right now, so he doesn't talk much. I don't know when we split. I guess he's still our representative. But yeah, it's hard to find out anything from him. So he hasn't made any kind of announcement. But yeah, it would be great if they fought it out for another month or 2 months. What would you like to say on the radio as the candidate?
Well, I think this is maybe a little bit of bias, but as the candidate in a purple district, I think it's really important to remind people who are in historically blue districts, I hate to call them safe because we don't want to take anything for granted.
Right.
Your help, whether it's, donating, whether it's getting out of the doors and helping, has so much more effect and more power in our swing districts. Just because, if we can flip those to maintain the majority of the House and we can flip the Senate, that's going to be a lot more powerful than just picking yet another Democrat in your district. So, obviously pay attention, but I think if people in those historically blue districts could help us out here, that would be great.
And how can they help you out? Where should they go to find out, talk to you, and maybe door knock?
So my website is cahillforhouse.com. Cahill is C-A-H-I-L-L, and it's F-O-R, not the number. So cahillforhouse.com, and that's my all my social media as well. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, however you want to reach me, I'm here to listen.
And Caitlin does everything herself. She does her own. Do you even do your own photography, don't you?
I have occasionally, but yeah. I also have some great photographer friends who help me out.
Yeah, and you do your own graphics. You made up your own logo. You do your own website. It's old school. That's what we do out in 33.
Yeah, exactly. It's very grassroots out here.
Yes, and I've got nothing but compliments for Caitlin. I've worked very closely with her for 2.5 years now, and I'm so impressed with what you do and how good your campaign is, even though you're very small. So please do support Caitlin Cahill. Give us your information again, Caitlin.
Cahillforhouse.com.
Great. All right. Thank you very much. Caitlin Cahill running for the Minnesota State House in District 37A. We'll probably see you soon in real life, Caitlin. And we'll be back for the second hour here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.